At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I got friends, only wanna talk business. I got expensive, cause winning's expensive. I got expensive, cause winning's expensive.
I've been reading all the work. And I've been shutting down the stars.
And welcome to Put That Coffee Down, the Freight Sales Podcast for Closers. My name is Kevin Hill, and I'm your host here as always at 12 p.m. Eastern Time on Freight Waves TV. We are going to talk about technology today, specifically the Freight Tech 100 with my good friend and senior researcher over here at Freight Waves, Joe Antishak. And he's in control of the process. He organizes it. He does a wonderful job each year collecting all this information from all over the place and getting it ready for the voters. How are you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Thanks for that nice introduction. Man, I feel flattered.
Well, you're great. You are an awesome researcher, very detailed, very on top of your game. And it's a pleasure working with you.
Ditto. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You bet. So let's get to the Freight Tech 100 that dropped earlier this week, or was it last week that the nominations were opened up?
Just yesterday. Yeah. We opened them up yesterday. So if you're not familiar with Freight Tech, what it is this award series that we've been running, I think, for the last 5 or 6 years from before my time. But in general, what we want to do with it is reward those companies in the freight tech space that are the most innovative, right? That are the most disruptive and that are doing the most to solve big problems in novel ways. Very excited to announce that nominations are open again. And they're going to remain open for the next month and a half. Early September, they close.
Yeah, I believe this is the sixth year that the Freight Tech Awards have been out there. If we go to last year, look at the top 25, I'm looking at it right now, that the top five, number one is Project 44, and then Platform Science. Flexport was number three, Convoy number four, and Four Kites number five, followed by Amazon Freight right after that at number six with J.B. Hunt and Emerge. So it starts with the 100, or really it starts with the nominations, right? And we always get asked all the time from everybody in the industry how it works. So I figured we would take an episode to Put That Coffee Down here and talk about the process, some of those FAQs that you're going to be getting over the next 3 months or 4 months from participants in the Freight Tech 100. And then we'll talk about how to use being nominated and placing in the top 100 and then top 25 in your sales and marketing game. So let's start off with nominations. You go to a webpage. I'm sure you have it there memorized to do the nominations. But what do the nominations entail? What information do you need to have?
Yeah. So I don't have the webpage memorized. I should. Typically, what I tell people is just search 2024 Freight Tech nominations on Google or whatever search engine you use, and it turns up, and you can nominate.
I have it here. Freightwaves.com/awards. Right there it is.
There you go. Yep. That'll take you there and you'll be able to find it. So the nomination form, it's very similar to in years past where we set it up so that, right, you can nominate your own company if you'd like, or if you're a customer of someone who you think has a really great tech offering, you can nominate them. Really, the only requirement is that, you know, they're operating within freight transportation supply chain to some extent, right? So that can be a pretty broad field, but that's the idea. In the nomination form, we're asking people to sort of summarize the reason for nomination, what the company is doing in the technology space, how that's innovative, we've added a few questions this year because, I mean, one of the things we want to do with all of our publications is just constantly improve them, right? Constantly iterate on them, make them sturdier, make them more valuable to the industry and more valuable to award winners too. So we ask for a little bit of additional context this year. We're asking about specific innovations that the company has iterated over the last 12 months, right? So in this weird time for freight tech, a time when capital is dried up in large part and the industry is kind of contracted a bit, it's not an easy time for technology companies. So we want to know what they have done in the last 12 months in particular to improve. Because I think that's really going to separate the wheat from the chaff. On that note, we also ask if companies have raised any more money in the last 12 months. We want to get an idea, right, of you know, basically what we want to do is get a little bit more context surrounding governance, right? We don't need giant specifics, but we want to get some more context so we can make better decisions. We also ask, and this could be somewhat controversial, but we ask if the company that you know of has experienced any layoffs. Now, one major caveat with this, right? I'm asking people who are nominating to be as honest as possible. But for full clarification, answering yes on that question, it's not going to prevent that company from winning. I mean, anyone who is in the industry, who's been watching, anyone who's familiar with freight tech or just technology in general, knows that layoffs have become a lot more commonplace in the last 12 months compared to, you know, 2021, for instance, right? So we're cognizant of all that. It's not going to disqualify a company, anything like that. We just want to get a sense of what is going on with this company right now. We want all the context we can possibly get to make the best decisions. And those companies that have been performing well over the last 12 months, despite the headwinds, and who have really great technology, really viable solutions to big problems, these are the ones that are going to shine through.
And I think having that context is super important. I was actually talking to a company that is on the top 25 from last year yesterday. And, you know, just going through the picking of the 100, right? So there's 100 companies, right? So you're narrowing down 500, 600, 700 companies into 100 companies, right? So the lot for anyone to digest. And then you get into the top 100 voting, that's 100 companies. How do you differentiate yourself from 100 companies? And, you know, the voters, we'll get to the voters here in a second, but they're all industry leaders, but, you know, the whole gamut of logistics, right? You have, you know, visibility tools, you have, alternative energy trucks, you have a lot of really specific technologies, that no one person's going to be familiar with everything. So having something, you know, what have you done in the last 12 months as a qualifier, layoff, capital raises, that gives context to that brand name or that name on there that someone might be somewhat familiar with or not familiar with at all. And that's not a shake to any one company on there. It's just the nature of the beast, right? It's such a large industry that one person's not going to have a wrangle on everyone out there. You might be really new and really innovative, but they haven't heard of you because they don't operate in that space, which is very important. I think another thing on the nominations that I would advise is, you know, you have great technology, right? But don't get lost in the technology. If you have customers, if you have revenue, if you have business uses and business cases, throw those out there because that's impressive to a lot of people as well. Some people get lost in the techno speak, and you don't want to do that because it's hard to differentiate yourself or stand out if you lose people in architecture and all these other abstract words that if you're not really deep into technology and the functioning of technology on a day-to-day basis, you kind of gloss over.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And there's no specific secret sauce recommendation that can be made for like how you should approach nominations. What I will say is that we are more interested in the quality of a nomination than quantity, right? So certainly, if you're a company out there, you want to get on the Freightech 100, feel free to share out the nomination link, ask customers, ask partners to nominate you if, you know, they think you're doing a good job. But having dozens and dozens of nominations is not going to draw us to your name more, right? We're going to look through all these nominations, but we're on the lookout for quality. We want good, concise nominations that really detail what's great about your company, what's great about your technology, how much you've been able to do in the last year, despite these headwinds that we've been talking about. And then, yeah, right. I think that's everyone who's going to be voting. What's that? Sorry?
No, I think that's an important point because that's a question that is always asked, right? Is, you know, how much weight is put into the number of nominations, right? And I would say if they're all employee generated nominations, that's a lower quality. But you know, just because you have five nominations, someone else has 200 nominations, there's not really a barrier to that, right? You're not going to get not for not having as many nominations as those 5 or 10 or $15 billion companies. There are $1 billion companies and you're just starting out. You're not really going to get knocked on that. You want as many nominations as possible. But as you said, 5, 10 good quality nominations are worth more than 100 just employee nominations.
Definitely. Yeah, that's perfectly said. And I will just say too, I mean, going out and looking like, you're not going to be penalized if you have a lot of employees nominate. You know, like that is not. I'm not saying don't do that.
It's a good thing to have a lot of employee nominations, right? But it's just different. It's not weighted in any certain way that this is going to be looked at more favorably than a company with less nominations.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you know, when we close off the nominations and we start voting on the Freightech 100, it's going to be the research team, our market experts, journalists, right? These are people who are very well aware of the space, and they're going to be on the hunt for the same thing that I'm talking about, which is right quality of nominations, viability of the product, and sort of the space. You know, all of that kind of contextualizing decisions. But yeah, if you're a smaller company out there, if you're listening to this and you're thinking like, oh, there's no way I'm going to make it, please, you know, nominate yourself, have someone nominate you. Every year, this list has new entries, right? For the Freightech 100. And then typically there's some new ones on the Freightech 25 every year.
Oh, yeah.
So this is not a static thing, you know, like the space, just the nature of it. And given that Freightech is relatively, in my opinion, there's a long way to go, right? So there's plenty of room for movement in the list, and we want to celebrate the really strong, promising young companies. You know, that's what this list is all about.
And we're talking about the 100 companies, right? That's where conciseness comes into, because of that first step, the process of picking that 100. There's just a lot of names in the hat at that point. And those good quality nominations that tell exactly what you do, exactly how you're innovating in as few words as possible is so important, because it is, you know, I've been through it. It's a chore to look at this vast amount of companies and pick 100.
Yeah, it definitely is. And we will be going through every single nomination, so like you don't have to worry that we're gonna miss you or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that we value concision, getting to the point as opposed
clarity.
And clarity, right, as opposed to just really elaborating on this, you know, sort of over the top, you know, forgive the term here, but like, you know, overly salesy language. That's not what we're interested in. Like, get to the point. Tell us why you deserve this. And we would love to reward you for your work.
So we select the 100, right? And then what does the process look like after the 100, right? We send it to the voters. So you can go through that process as well, Jeff.
Yeah. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, because I feel like there is some confusion about how it works after that. It is not, contrary to some people's opinions, a popularity contest. We announce the top 100, and then those 100 companies we ship off to an independent auditor, and that auditor has the list of judges that are going to be judging the Freightech 25. And these are people, you can see it, it's online at that link that Kevin mentioned earlier. If you search 2024 Freightech, you'll be able to find it. There's something like 80, 85 voters from around the industry. These are people leading companies in the space that have been around for a long time. We have investors in there. We have academics in there. People who really know their stuff and have been around the industry for a long time. So the independent auditor, KSM, sends an email to each of these voters with a link to a form where they can rank who they think are the top 25. And it works very similarly to how like the AP polls work in college basketball, college football, where it's like, if you rank a company as number one, that company then gets 25 points, right? And this goes to like the end point tally that informs the top 25. And that's how that list is formulated. So you obviously are rewarded for being on more voters' lists, but it's also extremely important that you factor highly into, the most judges' lists, right? So there's no simple way to game that system. I mean, the simplest way is to have great technology, a great company that, the industry at large recognizes as really important. It's a holistic effort, I guess I would say. You can't just game one element and then win the whole thing.
You can't game one element and, there's top 100 or the voters for the top 100, top 25 are out there. So you can Google Freightech 100 voters and stumble upon that page with the bios, and you can see who the audience is. And I think it's popular that a lot of companies go out and kind of promote themselves, kind of like the Oscars in that respect, where you have campaigns, the Oscar campaigns for Best Picture, Best Actor, Actress. So that's worthwhile. I wouldn't beat voters up about it, but, certainly going out and doing a little bit of self-promotion never works. It never hurts.
I'm always saying this is just like the Oscars of freight. That's how I talk to people about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have that point in there. So you can look at the top 100 voters and go and kind of do your sales and marketing. That's one way to use a placement on top 100 in your sales and marketing game. There's other ways as well. I think there's there's badges available for those top 100, which is an important badge for your website, your marketing collateral to go out and show you're among the who's who in the tech space and freight.
Yeah, I think there's really an element of arrival to this list. So yeah, it's worthwhile for a company of any size or stature to be in the Freightech 100 or Freightech 25. But I think especially of the smaller companies that are just starting out, that are really gunning to make their way onto this list for the first time. And like the difference I think it makes for you to say, like, let's say you've been in business for a few years or whatever. It's like, oh, this year, now we're on this list. And you can go out on sales calls and stuff like that and say, this is proof positive of our technology, of our company. We're on the upward swing, right? And there's a reason for that. And this is why, I think it can be a really useful thing especially for these really young companies.
Yeah, it's important for sales, for customers within logistics space, and then of course to go out and raise more capital. Because if you can get on that Freight Tech 100, you can get in front of more VCs, more investors, raise more money, have more opportunities. I think, especially for those young companies, you said, getting into the top 100 as fast as you can, because you know it is. It's very expensive to go out and found a startup, raise money, put it to use. You know, you're often in that cycle of raising more money. And if you can get on there quickly, you can be in a position to where you can capture more business, raise more money, and be placed to be more successful.
Yeah. And I'm certainly biased about things. I'm going to feel this way every year that we're doing Freight Tech, but I do honestly feel like this year's Freight Tech winners are maybe more notable given all the difficulties many companies have had to face, right? It's like, and yeah, for these younger companies, it's like you make it onto the list now. That almost feels more impressive than doing it in a boom time when it's easier to secure funding and when, you know, you're not having to deal with headcount reductions and that sort of thing. So I'm just really excited to see these nominations. We've already had a good stream of them. I'm excited to see how many we wind up with, and just kind of the quality of companies and what they've been up to in the last 12 months. It is an exciting time for sure.
Let's shift gears here for the last couple minutes of the show and talk about an email that you've been sending out for a survey. You do a lot of surveys over there, but this is about double brokering. It's a big topic in the industry, and just wanted to see kind of what results. I know it's not published yet, but what are some of the highlights or main themes that you've seen from the data you've collected so far?
Yeah, so I think I have to steer away from speaking specifics for that because that was with a partner. But what I can say, well, one, certainly keep an eye out. I think it's going to be a very successful white paper. So like, you'll know about it, you know, one way or another, and you'll be able to download it for free in the coming weeks, hopefully. But the general gist of it was, right, you know, there's been so much talk about double brokering in the last, certainly this year. I mean, it really feels like it's elevated to like a fever pitch of you know, we need to deal with this issue. And so we were working with this partner company and just sort of thinking, you know, for me personally, I've been curious to get a better sense of how real an issue it is, right? Like there's also been talk about ATAs pushing the driver shortage narrative. And sometimes, you know, you really just want to work your way through the weeds and figure out what's real and what's not, you know? So with double brokering, it's like, okay, let's figure out just how big an issue this is for people. You know, who is concerned about it? And see if we can separate narrative from reality a little bit. I will say the results were shockingly in favor of the idea that double brokering is a major issue. And I say shockingly, not in the sense that like I didn't think it was an issue before, like that kind of thing, but more just yeah. Like I was shocked
at how
overwhelming it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, brokers are feeling very strongly about it. It's not. There aren't many who say that it's, you know, not an issue. It's a non-factor. And I thought it'd be, you know, I'm not surprised with the end result. I'm surprised with the degree to which, you know, that end result was landed upon, I guess.
So lived is it's living up to the hype that you're hearing about it. It's you know, it's not hyped.
I'd
up.
Say so.
It is actual. It meets that hype.
I would say so. And yeah, certainly, you know, if you're a broker, you're just interested in double brokering in general, this white paper is going to have a lot of really great stuff in there for you. So keep on the lookout. I'm sure, you know, we're going to be writing more about it and you'll hear about it. But there's a lot of really interesting stats in there that I think are going to be kind of eye-opening for a lot of people around the industry.
Well, I can't wait to see that. And again, Freight Tech 100 Awards, the nominations are open. Thank you so much, Joe, for joining us today on Put That Coffee Down. And take care.
Thank you, Kevin. You too.
You bet. And there it is. Freight Tech 100 award nominations are up and running. You can go to, let's throw the slate up there one last time, and you can see it there, freightwaves.com/awards. I have a couple audio podcasts coming out very soon. I had one about cross-border with IGL Logistics last week. You can find that on our podcast stream. And the guys at Freight 360 later on this week will be dropping that. So until next week, I go out and make some sales, win some margin, and put that coffee down.
I got friends, only wanna talk business. I got expenses, cause winning's expensive. I got expenses, cause winning's expensive.
I've been getting out of work, and I've been shutting down the stores.